Hashem, what we're going to do today is an introduction to Halacha and the Developmentally Disabled. From number one, defining what constitutes a shote, and I'll explain in a moment the significance of that Halacha, as well as discussing Hilchos Shabbos. So it's an introduction to what constitutes a shote Halacha, implications, as well as Hilchos Shabbos. Before I begin, I need to emphasize something that Rebelsky told me when I was zochet to ask questions to him. Rebelsky emphasized, he said a very powerful thing. Rebelsky is one of the most important poskim today. He and Rav Shechter are the poskim for the OU. And Rebelsky said, almost every shaila that he gets, he says, has been a shaila that he's already thought of. He said it's an absolute modesty. He didn't even mean to sound like... He says the shaila we've dealt with hundreds and hundreds of times. He said there's one exception, he says, and that is when you deal with shailas that relate to the developmentally disabled, that every shaila is so unique and so different, he says, there's sometimes they have to say I don't know. So when he started a question-and-answer period one time, this tremendous, tremendous posting started with this introduction. So Kal v'chomer, my small self, as someone who I'm quite young, and I was just zochet to do shimush talmid chachamim, everything that I'm about to say to you, the outline was reviewed a few years ago by Rav David Kohn, and of course the hashpoz of my great rabbi and Rav Shechter, and my other rabbi, Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Hardman, all had a big impact on this, but I need to emphasize that none of this should be taken as halacha l'maaseh without discussing it with another Rav, and realize that the halachas, as we're going to show, the halachas of the developmentally disabled are extremely, extremely nuanced. We know the Gemara in Brachos and Gittin and other places tells us that a shota is pater from mitzvah. What is a shota? A shota is someone who's both deaf and dumb. The Rambam, however, in Hilchos Eidus adds another category. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidus writes, Kol shadaito mishubeshes tamid. You have somebody whose mind is not entirely clear, is not clear, so then he's going to be puzzled from Eidus. The Chassam Sofer and Shaul Tshuva Seven Ezer in Simim Beis, based on this Rambam, tells us the following halacha. He tells us that for that reason, someone who has a very low IQ is therefore would also fall into the category of someone who is a cheresh. Why a cheresh? Because the reason why a cheresh is puzzled is because ultimately, once upon a time, someone who was deaf and dumb, they had a very, very low IQ. For those who want to say that individuals who have a low IQ, they qualify as a shota, and therefore they're puzzled from mitzvahs, that it seems is not correct. Because the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Gimel on the Beis tells us that a shota qualifies as someone who is long the Beit HaKvaros, someone who lives in the cemetery, ma'abed es mashenosan lo, or he destroys that which is given to him. I remember when I was in Camp Hasp many years ago, there were campers who did do that. So every once in a while, there is a camper that everything you give, we used to have campers that would tear all their clothing. So if that individual might halachically qualify as a shota. But if they're not London Beis HaKvaros, they're not Ma'abin Mashinosan Lo, and they're not Mikareyev Suso, so then in such a case, the individual might definitely does not qualify as a shota. The Chassam Sofer says that he qualifies as a cheresh. My Nafkamina, what would be the Nafkamina? Many, many Nafkamina. For example, it could very well be what's referred to in Camp Hask as the yaps. Many, many, many of the yaps might qualify as a full-fledged bar chiyuv of mitzvot. And therefore, never, ever should someone assume that he could have an individual who is a client. In this case, we're talking to people who are going to have someone do something that is asur because they don't want to do it. In fact, Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, Rav Shlomo Zalman's son-in-law, in an article in Tchumim, I heard this first, another Rebbe that I have to mention is Rav Mordechai Willig, whose son, Rav Yehuda Willig, is going to be the Rav this year in Camp Hask. Rabbi Willig quoted Rav Zalman Nechemi Goldberg, and you could find it upstairs in the library. Rav Zalman Nechemi Goldberg claimed that even someone with a low IQ at times would be considered a bar mitzvah. Rav Zalman Nechemi says you have to examine every mitzvah independently. If they understand that mitzvah, they understand what that mitzvah is, the basics of that mitzvah, then they're going to be a bar chiyuv in that mitzvah, which means never assume, oh, I'll just hint to the camper to turn off the light, and then in such a case, that would be fine. We're going to discuss what happens if the light is left on, and so on, but this is a very, very important yesod, that you should not assume that there are any less, that these quote-unquote clients, or that's how they're referred to in the professional field, or in camp, the way they're referred to as campers, you should never necessarily assume that they're not a bar mitzvah, and therefore they're chayiv and mitzvahs like you, just like you are. Okay? That is the introduction. Do not assume that they qualify as both a shota and a cheresh. They might, aside from having full kedusha, and that's something you're going to really, really experience when you interact with them, that there's a tremendous, tremendous neshama there, but not only is there a tremendous neshama there, they might be the exact same bar chiyuv that you and I are. Let's get to the second topic. And then, Amir Hashem, what we're going to do, I see there's a question here. What we'll do is we'll hold a little bit off on the questions, and then after I get through all these topics, we'll start a separate question and answer period. Okay. Of course, in Hilchos Shabbos, if in any instance there is a suffix, even a tiny suffix, that there is someone who qualifies as a cholish yesh bo sakana, for example, if your camper is turning very, very pale, or there's any type of indication that there's real, real distress, you don't ask a shayla. You're mechalel Shabbos. And if it turns out, with all the endurance, mechalel Shabbos 100%, and if it turns out that the camper was fine, you did a mitzvah, not an aveira. Rav Chaim Brisker used to emphasize, when he used to tell a lot of people to eat on Yom HaKippurim, he would say, I'm not a meikel on Yom Kippur, I'm a machmir on Pikuach Nefesh. On Shabbos, if there's any type of doubt, even of 0.2%, that someone's life is in danger, there's a mitzvah to be mechal Shabbos, and the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Chav Ches says terrible, terrible things about those people who want to be machmir in any case of suffix, pikuach nefesh. So if there's any question, this applies, of course, not only in the cases of developmental disabilities, but it does come up, and here are people whose lives are really fragile. I remember that there are real serious emergencies that happen in camp. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect every single one of the clients and the staff members. But you should know that this is not all fun and games, that there's real life at that stake. I have to stop and add an addendum, which is a totally parenthetical remark. My wife and I and children were zocha to be in half for 8 summers, and the last few summers there were quite a few very terrible car accidents in the mountains, a few of them involving staff members in camp, and a lot of it might have been due to the fact that people are exhausted and they're driving on dangerous roads. Rabosai, please, I'm a vakesh from you. If you're tired, don't drive. We're dealing, just like we're machmer on pikuach nefesh for our campers, you have to be machmer on pikuach nefesh yourself. And unfortunately, every summer, almost every summer, there are terrible, terrible accidents in the Catskills. And more important than all the halachos that we're going to discuss right now, that I got you in this room, it was all a move. Just to get you in this room to be able to make this point that please, 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 please be careful. I'm not talking about drinking and driving and so on. I'm talking about people who are tired driving on roads that are dangerous and roads that they're not familiar with. Please, please, please don't drive when you're tired. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect all of us. That's Kol HaSheyesh Bo Sakana. Now we get into more of the nuance. Is it clarification? If go ahead.
To what extent is
No, that's not pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh means that that if worse comes to worse, their life is in danger. Okay? Now, most times, most of the campers in half, and most people that suffer from developmental disabilities qualify as a chole she'ein bo sakana. Chole she'ein bo sakana means someone who is sick, not simply having a headache, but someone who is sick. Someone, if you and I were so sick that we would need to lay down, so then that qualifies as chole she'ein bo sakana. Most people who have serious medical needs automatically qualifies as chole she'ein bo sakana, even if they are presently in a comfortable state. We know that the halacha is that on Shabbos, amira l'nafri, to instruct the Gentile to do malacha on Shabbos, is prohibited. One is not allowed to instruct the Gentile to do malacha on Shabbos. Actually, there are three explanations of why one is not allowed to instruct the Gentile on Shabbos. According to the Rambam, the reason one is not allowed to instruct the Gentile is because it makes the Shabbos look like chol. Nisu d'Rabban makes it look like chol. According to Rashi and Avodah Zarah on Tezvav Amid Aleph, the reason is because daber dover, you're speaking about malacha on Shabbos. According to Rashi and Shabbos on Kuf Nun Gimel Amid Aleph, the reason that it's prohibited is because of shlichus. The guy is considered as if it's your shliach. Avnei Nezer gives an interesting nafkamina, according to the two explanations of Rashi. What happens if you instruct the Gentile on Erev Shabbos to do malacha on Shabbos? What would that halacha be? Is it mutter or aser? Let's just put it through these different conceptual possibilities. If you say the iser is shlichus, that is considered as if I did the malacha on Shabbos, so then in such a case, then you're not allowed to even do it on Friday. If the iser is that you're not allowed to talk about malacha on Shabbos, which is a separate iser to talk about malacha on Shabbos, so then if you instruct on Friday, then it's going to be fine. Halacha ma'aseh, it seems that we're choshesh for both opinions. However, here we come to the famous expression that was popular in my days, and that is the half heter. Now, the half heter is one of the biggest distortions that exists in the world. It's not a half heter. It's called a shulchan aruch heter. In other words, every single heter that's legitimate, that's used in the setting that is taking care of people with developmental disabilities, unfortunately, sometimes they use illegitimate heterim. Sometimes there's illegitimate chumras. And so that always exists. But all of those are found in Shulchan Aruch itself. In Simin, Shin, Chav, Ches. In Sif, Yud, Ches, we pass in that it is permissible to instruct a Gentile directly to do malacha on behalf of a chola. And most of the campers in Camp Hask, from what I recall, qualify as a chola. She'en bo sakana, most, not all, a really high-functioning yak, some of them might actually be a full-fledged, from a halakhic perspective, a bari. You would need to ask a competent rav, last rav Yehuda Willig, last God, to whether to qualify. But for most, they qualify as a chole she'en bo sakana, and therefore, instructing a Gentile to do malacha would be permissible. Could you tell another camper? You answer this question to me. Should you tell another camper to do malacha on behalf of you or another camper? What would you say? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Even if they're 100% potter from mitzvot, then also I would highly encourage you not to. In my days, one of the tikkunim we tried to make was I encouraged them and the administration acceded in the end, and we used to have a particular place where a goy, a Gentile, was available. They still have that Baruch Hashem, that's from our days. Baruch Hashem, something still left, that there is a goy available to go and to call the goy if the light was turned on in the bunkhouse to have to you. And here you got your first great Camp Hask Heter. It's one of the only places you should say Hinni Muchanu Mezumin. You should be so excited before you do it. You could actually instruct the Gentile directly to turn off the light, something you wouldn't be able to do at home. Yes, sir.
No. For
example, I'll give you another example. The question was, what if the camper is feeling fine, but the camper has lots of needs? He's medically a chola. In other words, if you bring him to general civilization, then in such a case, he would have tremendous amounts of needs. In camp, he's a hero. That's how it should be. But the answer is that a katan is also considered a cholish ein bo sakana. It's the status. Someone who is not medically functioning like everybody else automatically qualifies as a cholish ein bo sakana, and hence is going to be mutter. We now go to one of the most clear. Yes, sure. We also, yes, we consider la halacha kana cholish ein bo sakana, but that's not our topic for today. Mirtz Hashem, you come back, Ariel, to the kolel, and Bezer Hashem will discuss it. But that's but Bezer Hashem, yes, it is the halacha that a katan as well. We pass into the Polish Shem Bosakana, but that's not our topic for today. Let's come to the most exciting shaila, the dirtiest shaila, and that is the shaila of cleaning campers on Shabbos. Yes, you will have campers who will soil themselves. By the way, the first few days are very, very, very difficult. Hang in there. Hang in there. You'll grow up from it. I think you'll be very, very thankful. But yes, you have to clean. And I have to say that I hold a camp, you know, one time on Purim, someone threw up when we were still in Washington Heights. When I was a Rebbe in YU, someone threw up in our house. And my wife pointed out the guys that ran to clean up the vomit. It wasn't her. It wasn't me. The guys who ran to clean it up were the half guys. It's a tremendous darga. It's a tremendous darga. Those are the guys that ran to clean it up. So you have to do some things that are pretty disgusting with kavod avriyot, because you're there and you're giving something that's very, very special. The special, special neshama. It's a holy endeavor. It's a dirty endeavor, but it's a very, very holy endeavor. And to clean up an adult diaper is a lot harder than a father cleaning up a child's diaper. So there is a big machlokes haposkim today whether baby wipes could be used on Shabbos. I will tell you what I heard from Rav David Cohn, Halacha Lemaisa, which is what they did in half many, many years before, and from what I understand, even the last 4 or 5 years that I've not been there as well. And let me just give you a little bit of background. Fun background. 2 minutes of learning. Here we go. There is a machlokes rishonim why it is that you're not allowed to squeeze water out from a rag. According to the opinion of the Rambam, the reason why you're not allowed to squeeze water out of a rag on Shabbos, tchita is aser, as is qualified in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Shin Chaf Aleph, is prohibited because you're cleaning the rag. According to the Rambam, if that would be so, baby wipes wouldn't be a problem at all on Shabbos. Because, what's the problem? You're cleaning the rag? There's nothing dirtier in the world than you're doing right now. So there's no way that the Rambam would say that it's aser. However, in Shulchan Aruch, there's another opinion that's quoted, which is accepted la halacha, and that is the prohibition of squeezing a rag on Shabbos is that you're producing the water. If that's so, it's an isra of dosh, not an isra of libun, so then we've got ourselves a problem. Because here, you don't only want, in general, that the camper be cleaned, you also want something else, and that is water to come out, to make the cleaning process easier. The question is, if there's an Isra of Dosh, why would it be that the custom in Hask for many, many, many years is to use baby wipes? Shouldn't it be problematic as Chita, you go to many people's homes, they will only use a spray bottle on Shabbos because of the chash. That baby wipes is a prohibition of shtita. There are two different traditions to this day. So, what was suggested, here by the way, it's on the next page that you have in front of you, I'm sorry, it's in Shimon Shincha, is if there's a way for us to show that your intention when you're squeezing out the baby wipe is not that you want the water to come out. That's not your intention. You just want to clean, and there's enough moisture on the top. So many poskim said, you don't want to squeeze out. The moisture on the top is going to be sufficient. Hence, if you take a look in the booklet that I gave you, in footnote 7, Chacham Avadi Yosef Shlita, and I heard from Rav David Cohn, as well who I consulted at the time, all of these shailas, both suggested that to use the least moist wipes. If you have wipes that are not very, very latent with water, therefore, it could very well be it's not for sure that you're even going to squeeze out any water. If it's not for sure, then it qualifies as a davar she'eino miskamen. So if you can, before Shabbat, try to have, what do you think in the baby wipes jar, what do you think are the baby wipes that are most wet versus the ones that are least? The ones on the bottom are the most. The ones on the top are the least. If you could squeeze them out before Shabbos, it's even better. It's not necessary. The Masorah is, at least all the Rabbonim that Paskin and can't pass, many Rabbonim say it's Mutter across the board. The big Machlokes HaPoskim. But ideally, if you can, if you could use the baby wipes on the top, where it's going to be a Dover Shenim Eskaving, so then, in such a case, it would be permissible. Yes, Ariel? Great. So then that's even what Rabbi Ariel, as a veteran, is attesting to, is that they weren't even that wet. So then maybe in such a case that would be bottom line. Another important point in regards to instructing a goy that I did not mention earlier is the halachas in regards to muktzah. Just like you're allowed to instruct a goy to do malach on behalf of a chol hashem osakana, you could certainly instruct a Gentile, but now we get to a very, very important heter that you should all know about. In Shin Chof Ches, Sif Yud Ches, we have the halachos of what is mutter for a Jew to do on behalf of a Chol Hashem Sakana. Up until now, we've discussed what malachos are prohibited for a goy to do. A goy could move the muktzah, and a goy could turn on the light. What about if there's no Gentile available? And the camper, as a chol hashem bo sakana, needs some type of help. And you know that the malacha that you're doing is something that might be prohibited on Shabbos. You might know it's prohibited on Shabbos, but here the answer is it depends. There are actually, in Shulchan Aruch, this is quite complicated. There are actually five opinions in Shulchan Aruch. It's not often that in Shulchan Aruch you have five opinions. Usually Beis Yosef quotes five opinions, and then in Shulchan Aruch he'll give you two. If I recall correctly, there's either four or five opinions in Shin Chof Ches, Yud Ches, exactly what you're allowed to do on behalf of a Chol Hashem Bo Sakana. The bottom line is that an Isser D'Rabbanan, something that's not an Isser D'Oraisa, is only rabbinically prohibited, is permissible for you, not a goy, you, to do with a shinui on behalf of a cholah. So let's think of an example. Let's think of an example of something that's an Isser D'Rabbanan, not an Isser D'Oraisa, that would be permissible for you to do with a shinui. Anybody think of an Isser D'Rabbanan? Yes? Okay, that's not a bad example. There is a machlokes achronim between the great Chazon Ish Zatzal and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal whether electricity constitutes an Isser D'Oraisa as an Isser D'Rabbanan. Those of us who have a tremendous chut to be Talmidim of Rav Neven Zal Shlita follow the tradition of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that Rav Nemzal is personally master on himself very, very much. But he says, as a tradition, we follow the tradition that electricity is an Isser D'Rabbanan and not an Isser D'Oraisa. So an individual who has a camper, who has a machine, a ventilator, and feeding tube that sometimes works on the machine as well, if there's no goy around, if there's a goy around, instruct the goy to turn it on. But if no goy is around, and you don't have the tradition following the Chazon Ish that electricity is an Isser D'Oraisa, and you follow the tradition that electricity is an Isser D'Rabbanan, you could turn on the electricity with your elbow, but it needs to be a real shinui. Elbow is a real shinui. You know, to use, if you normally use your index finger, you use a different finger, that would not qualify as a shinui. An elbow would qualify as a shinui. Again, this is assuming, using Ben's example, this is assuming that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's position, that it is an iser, that's an iser derabbanan. I mentioned to you a goy could move a mukta item. We actually paskin la halacha, not only can a goy do it, but as well, you can move a mukta item if it's for on behalf of the camper. Let's get to another shaila in Hilchos Shabbos, which comes up in camp, which is very, very, very confusing. It took me years to get to this bottom line, pushing years of struggling with it, with the medical personnel and the practicality, and then we came to the following bottom line with a fascinating caveat as well, which I'll add. Clarification, if there are long questions, go ahead. We'll have a question-answer session afterwards. Go ahead.
Like, what causes, like, being around? Does that mean you have to go around in the frame, or does it mean, like, in the general area?
In the general area.
Like, you don't have to, like, run around. Like,
you don't have to do right.
You walk outside, like, around, and no one's there, then you're still
then you could. Then you could do it with the sheen.
Right, the back of your hand, she knows how to
I would say elbow. A knee. An elbow. Okay.
Can you hold the machine?
Yes. There's no way so much because it's on behalf of this. Okay. Rabbi, here's a shiloh that many of you, even the veterans, might not even thought of. You go to the infirmary. Oh, that's an event. Waiting for meds. Oh, that's something. Anyhow, so you're waiting for, you're at the line for, it's at the line for meds, and over there, then you're waiting online, and then you realize the nurse, everybody there, including the nurse, has worked with tremendous mysterious nefesh, something very special. The nurse gives you a cream to put on your camper. Rabotai, are you allowed to apply cream on Shabbos? The answer is no. And not only that, it's an iser mimareach. There is a prohibition. In the time of the Mishkan, it was to flatten out and to work the hide, to rub out the hide, and applying cream onto something qualifies possibly as an Iser D'oraisa. So what's to be done? So first of all, I highly encourage the medical personnel at the time. At the time, there was a fantastic fellow, Dr. Shimi, who was a doctor at the time. He went through every camper's medical file, and he, along with a few nurses, separated. I don't know if they've done this in the last few years. I haven't been in touch. Baruch Hashem, I'm stuck in Eretz Yisrael. But they went through the files, and they differentiated between those campers that really needed cream and those who did not really need cream. And for those who needed cream, what we did is we relied on the following two heterim. It's a heter. But at the same time, you have to look for heterim when you have someone that really, really, really needs it. Koach hetera adif. Number one is what we point, there is a shita, as quoted in the footnote number 5 in front of you, from Rav Sholem Shvadron's grandfather, Sefer Das Torah, that when you, what's the iser of mimareach? The iser of mimareach is to take something and to flatten it out. What happens if what you're flattening out disappears? What do I mean it disappears? It's absorbed entirely into the skin. The Sefer Das Torah claims that that's not the Yisra Mareach as Mutter. So if we're talking about a cream that is entirely absorbed into the skin, so then in such a case, it could very well be that that would not constitute an Yisra D'oraisa. B'shas HaTchak, this sheet is quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Gehilchasa, B'shas HaTchak, one could rely on that heter. What I would recommend is to be mitzarek one more heter with it. And that is the following. What did we say? What are you allowed to do with a shinui on behalf of a chol shem v'sakana? How do we pass in la halacha? By the way, I have to continue. I'm looking at Yosef HaTzadik. When I said we, almost all the things I've said right now have been according to Ashkenazim. I apologize. I've not set out all, and so that's the Ashkenazic-centric perspective, and that's most of the time, that's where the shadows were opposed to me, but Eina Hanami will have to put it through the Sephardic filter to Anyhow, how do we pass in la halacha what's permissible? We pass in la halacha that what's going to be permissible is, but if what we say, Rabbi Sai, let's see, you got it, Nisr Durabana with a shinui is permissible. Electric, good example. There is a sheet of the Egle Talit, quoted in the Sefer Shmir Shabbat Bilchasa, who says that he thinks even an Isser Doraisa could be done with a full shinui. So don't try this at home. However, the Shas HaKat, this is a big heter that you should know, that if it's even an Isser Doraisa on behalf of a Polish Shinui, I find the Egle Talit Mutter. So I'd like to put the two Eterim together. If you need to put on cream and the camper really needs it, I would recommend that you do it with a shinui, with an elbow, and if it's possible to do it that way. Otherwise, the other thing that you have is the position of the Das Torah, who says that the halacha is that once it's absorbed, it's going to be permissible. A few more topics of Hilchos Shabbos, and then Be'ezer Hashem will have summarized all the issues that come up. Clarification mark? No, unless the camper really, really...
Well, it's
okay. So a spray is a totally different shiloh. Wow. As many shots as you think there are, there's always more. A spray is a different issue. Let me just summarize. For those of us, here it comes that being part of the Mestorah from Shlomo Zalman Orbach is a chumrah, not a kula. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach felt that sprays, that one sprays into the ear and spreads out, is similar to Zoreh. In Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Simin Shin Chaf Aleph, the Ramah describes someone who throws water up into the wind and it's spread out. He says that that's Zoreh. Zoreh is winnowing. That we know that winnowing, the way they used to make bread, is they used to throw up the wheat in the shaft and the wind would separate. The Ramah, not the Mechaber, here, Joseph, now that I've gotten in the program, I'm going to point out where the Mechaber is a little different. I'll try to remember that the Mechaber does not bring this down. However, the Ramah says that Zoreh is going to be problematic even if you throw water up into the ear. Therefore, Shlomo Zalman says that using what's called in Hebrew tarsi sim, which in English is the spray bottle, there's a better word, aerosol cans. To use aerosol cans would be a problem with Zoreh. However, Rav Nevenzal adds that since Rabbi Akiva Eger says that it only applies to those things that grow from the ground, so the iser will only be to use a spray can, which is material that grows from the ground. So bottom line, in terms of the spray, so I think, what's the stuff made out of? If it's only chemicals, then it's going to be fine. If it's made out of plant derivatives, then it might be problematic according to our tradition. That's a very good question. It probably needs a significant percentage. Remind me tomorrow morning, Be'ezer Hashem, I'll discuss it. I'll discuss it with Rav himself. So that's in regards to a spray can, okay? In terms of the other question was asked, what about suntan lotion? So suntan lotion is real mimareach. If it gets entirely absorbed in, then there's a Das Torah that says that one could be makel. What I recommend is with the shinui. The other thing to keep in mind is some campers really, really need it. If, God forbid, they get a sunburn, it's a terrible, terrible thing. And some campers need it like you and I need it. And for that, I would say that, you know, that's the doctor and nurse's call. Once the doctor and nurse tells you that they need it, you tell them it might be problematic on Shabbos, do they really need it? If they tell it to you, you've got yourself covered, not only covered in terms of your friends, that your friends are going to look down on you and so on, et cetera, which is an absolutely terrible phenomenon when we don't give each other appropriate respect, but even Klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the doctor says and the nurse says, I think they need it, then you can do it, unless you yourself are a big, big bucky in medicine, you should rely on everything that they said. Yes, Ben?
As of last summer, the camp was very massive, that was just a lot of camper, but they did for Shabbat, we need to
social. Beautiful. Okay. In regards to, yes, Ben Mode. So in regards to tochen, let's just go through some of the halachas in terms of preparing food on for campers. There are many campers my wife was a dietitian in half, and so she used to describe to me all the special diets and all the special needs that the campers had. And what she described to me is that many, many campers had difficulty chewing. And that meant that the campers needed their food ground up very, very, very small pieces. Rabosai, that's a potential grinding up vegetables into small pieces. Again, Shimon Shin Chaf Aleph is an Isur D'Oraisa of Tochen. So what are we supposed to do if a camper could only eat on Shabbos only from very, very small pieces? So there's a big heter here. The truth is, Yosef, now that I'm being sensitive to it, I think I almost got all the instances where there are differences between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Here, Ashkenazim on the books have a very, very big heter. Chacham Avadia says that the same heter applies as well for Sephardim, even though it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. And that is the heter called La'alter, that we know that when it comes, some of us might know, that when it comes to Borer, that if you take the food from the psoles, the ochel from the psoles, and you use your hand and you eat it right away, you do the altar, it's mutter. That's Borer, that's mutter. The Rajbo is mechadish, that if you dice something up in small pieces, which would constitute an Iser Doraisa, if you're doing it right before you eat, if you're doing it altar, it's mutter. This is a very, very important heter for you to know. Which means if you're sitting with your camper is there, you know, if your counselor is still, your co is still trying to get him out of the bunk, sometimes it takes a long time to get him from the bunk all the way down the hill to the dining room. But if your camper is already there, so then you can dice it up into small pieces, and then you will have the heter of the altar. What's that? Which is Glaital?
Chewing was for the night.
Right. The only thing is that's something. First of all, how do you dice with a shinui? That's not so easy. We're going to get to that. Okay, but again, the egg lay towel, that's like a secret. That's like a company secret. That's something that you only use the shas hadchak, and you know, it's one of those types of things that you tell other people who have to kill you or something like that. It's one of those rabbinic secrets. Giving it to you because it's a real, real source. In fact, one of the rabbis who's after me, you know, came and asked me to review with him some of the halachas. I told him this Igalei Tal is the most important secret to know, b'shas hadchak. But that's only b'shas hadchak. You shouldn't rely on it b'chatchila at all. Yes, it's against the Mishnah Berurah. We don't. Our tradition, especially our tradition from Rav Nevinsof, from Shlomo Zalman, you can't catch Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreeing with the Mishnah Berurah. It's very, very, very hard. Kal v'chomer is very hard on themselves. So it's very difficult for us to go against what the Mishnah Berurah says. When I was learning Yeshiva Sarvei Yitzchak Kalfan, it was a slightly different tradition. But in our tradition that we have in the Tiv Aryeh, those in the old city, those also to be close to themselves, we're very much coupled to the Mishnah Berurah. Yes? If it's within a few minutes, if the camper is around, it's fine. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be anxious that you cut it up and he doesn't want to eat now. That's fine. You don't have to be anxious that 10 minutes, that's fine. The lashon is samach ulufnei asuda, that's all fine. If you have a runner, yeah, it's fine. Just try to pace yourself as much as you can. Okay, you know what? Let's continue on. We'll stop. I'll get to the end, and then we'll take a whole question and answer period, which we'll discuss also about other things in regards to that. So that is in regards to altar. Now, if the food is in any way larger, than it's normally cut, it's also permissible. So that's something else. If your camper doesn't need very small pieces, if it's a choking hazard, of course. Then you rely on all that term, and then that's when Nathanael's point about using the egg-lay towel is very, very important. But otherwise, you should use either heter, chas v'chalila, there's any risk of choking. Let's now go from food to other areas of Hilchos Shabbos as well. And let's go to the favorite discussion that everybody has slightly different traditions about, and that is the prohibition of binyan v'stira bekelim and asiyas ha-pesach. Many poskim are choshesh that making a utensil on Shabbos qualifies as boneh. There are two opinions in the Gemara in Shabbos, in Kuf Gimel and in other places, of whether we say yesh binyan v'sira b'kelim or ein binyan v'sira b'kelim. Practical halacha, most poskim paskin, yesh binyan v'sira b'kelim. Most Ashkenazic poskim, here Yosef the Svardim might be more mako, but most Ashkenazic poskim paskin, yesh binyan v'sira b'kelim, which means that, according to some, one is not allowed to open a soda can on Shabbos. If a soda can needs to be opened, so here, if it's not difficult to puncture from the bottom and empty the contents, so then in such a case, that could be done. Some posts can say that that's not the best way. Rav David Cohen seemed to go in this direction as well. If soda bottle caps, which some say qualifies as a problem of making a cap on Shabbos. So Rav David Cohen told me we could follow the lenient opinions that say that if it's a plastic halacha, that's permissible. And he said the metal caps should be opened before Shabbos. There is a discussion, what about making a milk carton? A milk carton, you know how milk cartons are originally, I've almost forgotten what a milk carton is here in Israel, right? We have our plastic bags. But from, I remember once when I was a little kid, so they had these, you have the milk carton. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the milk carton is never opened as a pitcher until the first time that you open it. It's the way the milk is put into it is that it's open on all four sides, and then they glue the top. Some posts can say, wait a second, you're now making the utensils, you're now making the milk carton. Rav David Cohen told me that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that it is permissible because the keli is not a strong keli. It's called a mustaki. The Gemara in Perek Chavis describes that the only time there's a prohibition on making a utensil is if the utensil is going to be a strong utensil. If the utensil is not going to be strong, so then in such a case there's no problem of binyan v'sira b'kelim. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, this might be a good place if you're making a kli. Let's say this was never opened before. And the way the manufacturer made it was they sealed the plastic on. Instead of having a cap, they would seal the plastic on. But this might qualify as a good utensil because people use it all the time, this plastic utensil. However, how many people use milk cartons over and over and over again? Hence, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said it would qualify as a mustaki. Maybe soda cans also qualify as that. Here there are different traditions. If you have we used to have this all the time in the kitchen. My wife used to be in the kitchen as the being in charge of diets. So a lot of times the waitresses and the people in the kitchen used to ask me about opening up big metal cans, like let's say a big applesauce thing and so on. So that might very well qualify as binyan v'kelim. So then we suggested, if possible, to puncture the bottom, if possible, be careful. It could be that if you empty out all the contents right away, it's going to be permissible. The Sha'arim Mitzvayonim Ba'alacha suggests on the milk carton to open it up and empty all the contents, and then that shows for sure that you're not interested in the kli. And the footnote I mentioned over here in footnote number 8, I mentioned Rav David Cohen did not tell me this, and bottom line was that for all the years in Camp Hask, we opened this based on the heter that he saw, that he heard, and I think he as well saw from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Finally, two more things. On Shabbos, there are different positions. Even for drinking, it might be problematic because the opening a can might be asiyas ha-pesach, making a fine hole, aside from the fact that you might be making a can as well. There are two potential shilas. I would recommend that if you could puncture the hole beforehand and then puncture the bottom to make it no longer a kli, and then empty out the contents right away. Ideally, best thing is to drink from a bottle. Finally, this is a shiloh that many of people don't realize that they're going to have, but comes up often. Again, by the way, with the soda cans, I emphasize there are different traditions in this regard. If you're asking me my opinion, that's what I think. Let me see if I have here written down what Rav David Cohen had told me about the can. No, I don't have, so therefore I don't want to say anything more. There are two different traditions. I would recommend it to follow the stringent one in this regard. Another shiloh that often comes up in camp that people don't even realize is the shiloh has to do with wheelchairs. To construct and to make something on Shabbos is prohibited. A wheelchair falls apart. Let's say this is a wheelchair, and there is a screw that comes out, and the wheelchair is now not functional, or something else has broken. Fixing the wheelchair might constitute an Isur D'oraisa of Bona. We passing that making a wheelchair is an Isur D'oraisa. So what is one allowed to do in a wheelchair, and what is one not allowed to do? For a wheelchair, one is allowed to adjust all those things that are normal to adjust. For example, derech tashmisho, what's normal in the object, you're allowed to do. A baby carriage, a mother adjusts the baby carriage up and down, you're allowed, that's permissible because that's the normal way to use a baby carriage. The normal way to use a wheelchair is to adjust the brake, to adjust the headrest up and down, to adjust the seat up and down. All those things are part of what's permissible to do with a wheelchair. However, if there's something that needs to be screwed, if a screw has become loose, so then that a loose screw is an Isur D'Rabbanan. By maybe in your oven with a shinui, it might be enough to do. However, there are times that even putting back pieces might constitute an Isur D'Oraisa. Before you screw something back together in a wheelchair, or you put pieces back together, a rav should be consulted. That was actually one of the more important questions that were asked when I was there on Shabbos. Finally, the last set of halachos, which is brief, is in regards to tearing. The halacha is that tearing for a productive reason is prohibited on Shabbos. However, it is permissible to tear a bag open for the purpose of eating on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach added this, brought down the Shmirah Shabbos Kehilchasa in Tes Yudayin. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that not only is it permissible to tear in order to be able to eat, but it's also permissible to tear to be able to access materials that are for eating as well. In other words, cups and other things. To open up the plastic around the plastic cups is going to be permissible. Very good question. In regards to a Ziploc bag, so a Ziploc bag, I think there's much room to be mat here because that's derech tashmisho, that you're always opening and closing.
You say the box.
If the plastic bag is necessary to be used for food, then in such a case it will be permissible. I don't know if that qualifies as being necessary for food. So Rabotai, we have gone through the introduction. Here you have it in your book, in the booklet, and we've gone through most of the shaylos that come up on Shabbat. And Be'ezer Hashem, the next year, we'll stop for question and answers now, we'll record it separately. And for Mirza Hashem, for the next year, if you're interested, we could go through the halachos of Yichud and Tfilah as well, which you have Rabbi Penner's handbook from many, many years ago as well, that might be helpful.